Celtics Ready Podcast.
Back out to Smart. Fakes the pass all the time. Three. Bang!
It's Williams three. Lobs it up to Robert Williams.
Should he go? Taylor Brown.
What a dunker!
Tatum. Durant, the long reach. Tatum crossover, pull-up jumper. It's good. 50 points for Jason Tatum.
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the Celtics Reddit podcast, coming to you after an unfortunate game, I guess we'll call it.
Barely.
I'm your host, as I have been on occasion here in the stateside, Celtics Jay, and I'm joined as I frequently am by the OC King himself, Mr. Wayne Spoonie. Spoons, how you doing?
Jay, your tone seems somber. It's exactly how I feel after watching that game, man. That was a frustrating one. And I told myself, down two starters, we're probably going to lose. Don't get pissed off. I'm here. I'm pissed off. I'm annoyed, man. I can't help it.
I'm all angry inside. No joke. So I've been going through a bunch of transition on my end here. Just got settled up in this new space, been getting settled into this new job with a whole bunch of travel. So like, energy levels, like getting reacclimated to just the world in general.
To normalcy, yeah.
Yeah, well, and then bouncing in and out of all these different states all the time with all the different regulations and mandates and everything. It's just like...
And time zones.
Yeah, so it's nice having the opportunity to be able to unplug and just and vibe with some Celtics. I had a couple of good games that I got to get caught up with just recently. Even had a couple of opportunities where I had to eat my own shoes over some remarks I made about Schroeder because he came out guns blazing game right after. But I'm getting hung up on some previous positive notes. We're starting off in kind of a weird place right now. And to get this episode started, I'm going to go right into the post game thread and I'm opening up with a quote right from Beantown 00. And I'm going to just direct quote right from it. We fucking desperately need shooting and offense. It's literally horrendous how shit our offense is. Just watched brick after brick after brick from Smart, Richardson, Neesmith, etc. Get JT and JB some fucking help. Trade Smart if you need to and get back someone with some offensive ability. Trade Langford and Neesmith for something. I don't know, but this roster is not going to cut it. So Beantown...
He's not
like
holding back, man.
Up.
Yeah, he's firing away. So I think this one's a little over the top, right? Like, I'm not sure we should trade Marcus Smart. I'm not sure we should give up on Langford and Neesmith yet. But the overall tone is how I feel, man. Like, you cannot play Smart, Richardson, and Schroeder together at the same time. Like, it's 2021, man. It's not 1975. Like, you need shooting on the floor. And even Schroeder, Smart, like, I think the team makes more sense when JB comes back because you won't have to play Schroeder and Smart together for 30 minutes a game. But man, is it tough to watch them brick after brick, dude. Like, and they don't get guarded. That's like the worst part. Like, unless they have the ball, teams are just sagging off and packing the paint and you can't punish it.
And that's been my issue with Schroeder, right? Like, I get that Schroeder's a good player. And I'm not trying to just be like shit on Schroeder, although listen, if someone's going to do it, I'd like it to be me. And I think we see two different types of Schroeders. And we saw that even more clearly in the game prior to this one, right? Where we saw like the first half Schroeder lighting it up. Second half, he starts over dribbling again. The offense isn't moving. And one could kind of be fueling the other. Like when the offense gets stagnant, then maybe it's kind of creating a situation where Schroeder's more, you know, egocentric in his offensive, you know, mentality. And then when the, you know, when folks are making moves and getting open and making shots, maybe he's just more likely to be passing. So like, 6-1, half dozen of the other, chicken or the egg, which comes first. But in either case, we're seeing some legit point guard stuff coming out of Marcus Smart. Yep. He is connecting on his alley-oops. He is penetrating and making dishes. Yep. He's, you know, starting the break outlets off of steals, off of rebounds. He's doing the thing, not scoring the ball, not shooting it very well, even at Marcus Smart standards. So that's still pretty unforgivable at the moment. But these two guys, they don't coexist. Their styles just don't seem to play to each other at all. One really requires a lot of over dribbling. The other one, you want it out of his hands as quickly as you possibly can. And what's frustrating is you almost don't even know which one I'm referencing right now.
I don't think Smart over dribbles. I actually think Smart's been going to the rim a lot recently. I've liked the way he's played, other than he just cannot hit a shot. I almost think it's gone. The fan base is going to kill me for this, but I almost think it's gone the other way. We're like, now he like doesn't shoot at all. And you can't really have your starting point guard not shoot. Like, I get that it's frustrating to watch him brick shots, but that's almost as damage. Like, bricking is almost as bad as just like not shooting at all. And, or rather, it's worse, but not much worse than not shooting at all and just grinding the entire offense to a halt, which Smart does a good job of not doing. But if he like pump fakes and can't get by his guy, all of a sudden there's like 6 seconds left on the shot clock. I mean, it's just, it's tough, man. Like, you got to fire away at some point. Like, they're going to drop, right? Eventually, so, they got to start
saying,
going in.
You're saying that in the world of NBA, you can't ever go full Ben Simmons.
Right, exactly. Never. Never go full Simbo.
Don't go full Ben Simmons.
So, can I talk about Nesmith for a second here?
Please.
So I've been
calling. Because someone has to, because he's not giving us a lot of reasons.
Yeah, so I've been calling for Udoka to give him consistent minutes till he can get into a rhythm, because I think he's this rhythm confidence type player, and like, he's getting minutes. Like, you got to start hitting some fucking shots now, man. Like, if you don't shoot, you are not an NBA player. Like, he's not bad enough at other stuff to where he's like damaging if his shot's on, but if his shot's not on, it's like, what are we doing here? So he better start hitting some shots soon, man, or else those minutes are going to disappear. And then I don't know how the hell he gets back out on the floor. So it's been super frustrating to watch. I'm not giving up on him yet, because theoretically he solves a ton of our problems, and he just has not, man. Like, I feel like, watch, like I'm watching my kid at like a youth soccer game, and every time he misses a shot, I'm like, no, just go in, please go in. But man, it's been tough, dude.
And it's interesting, right? Because going through summer league preseason, all the talk was about Nesmith, and it was kind of underwhelming what we had seen from Romeo to that point. And with the start of the regular season, it's kind of flipped.
Yeah, definitely.
And who we've seen more of, and who's sort of had more of an impact so far on the court. So,
yeah, I'm happy with
we
Romeo.
Knew early on that was going to be an interesting narrative to follow, yeah. Especially with some of the veterans that did get brought onto the team. You know, we're seeing plenty of minutes continue to go to Josh Richardson.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't too angry with dude today. I thought he was attacking the basket pretty nice. Those little floaters that he's got, you know, that mid-range game, like, it works for him. I wish he had a 3-point shot.
Exactly. That's the problem with him, man. Like, the ceiling is just not that high, because you know he's not going to make, he can't punish you and make like 7 threes in a game. You know what I mean? And like, he'll go like 1 for 2 or 2 for 5. Like, okay, that's not that bad. His stats look all right. But like, we need a gunner. We don't have a gunner out there. You know, like, Atlanta's got 10 of them. Like, everybody they pass it to can shoot threes. With
everyone
a hand
they've
in their
drafted
brain.
For the last 5 or 6 yeah. team years have been gunners. I think one of the understated issues that we're trying to navigate through right now, and hoping that it comes to an end, there's been plenty of talk had about the challenges, several of our players shooting the ball, but Tatum in particular. I mean, I think even worse than any of that, though, has been Al Horford's lack of shooting. Yeah. Like, where is that consistency? Because without that, like, that's the part of his game that makes him just a serviceable vet, big, you know, to like an elite level starting center or forward. If he's not hitting that shot, that just our outside shooting, which is already strained and challenged, just tenfold worse if he's not hitting it. At this point, he's starting to be given more space. Like, today, I saw him get more like open looks than I've seen him get in a while. and he's still not hitting them. It's like, if you're not even hitting them when they're giving you space, they're going to stop giving you space.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
Or rather, they're going to just keep giving you space, exactly, and they're going to take space away from the other guys.
Yeah, that's
where I'm at after this game.
Yeah, and that was why I was so pumped about the – I think he's been better than I thought at everything else, which is everything. Great and awesome. But if he – him being able to shoot – represented like an alternative look, like a different way to play that we haven't had in a while since probably he was on the team the first time. And it would have been so great to pull Capella out of the paint and open those lanes. And he did somewhat, but I think in the second half, they were like, you know what? Go ahead, Al, fire away. We'll just go small. You can't punish us down low. We'll take Capella off the floor and we'll just sag off you. And I think he made one, but I mean, his shot is just like, sometimes it's not even close, man. Like, it's been bad.
It's not looking
good. It's like contagious, dude. It's like a sickness.
Yeah. Well, and like, it's hard to tell where Horford's issue is because he's got kind of an unorthodox form.
Oh, definitely.
He's got like that weird kind of like he's holding the ball when he's got a, it's not like just at rest.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it necessarily. It's always been an awkward shot for me to watch. The mechanics just don't make sense to me, but it's always gone in, you know, sweetly for him. So who am I to criticize and to judge? But this year it's looking rough. Going back to Nesmith for a second, because we've talked a little bit about Nesmith, and we've actually, you and I, in some of our conversations, have looked at some of his technique, form, and all that. What are you seeing, if anything, different right now that you think technically or to do with form is maybe interfering with his success right now? Or do you think it's just mental? It's just getting past that psychological hurdle of being in the real game and hitting those real shots.
Yeah, I think he's got Gumby legs, but he always had Gumby legs. So I think he's just naturally streaky. And that's because, like we've talked about, his base isn't consistent. His feet are all over the place. Like, he like dipped his right knee like towards his left knee on 1-3 tonight. And I was like, oh, this doesn't have a chance of going in. And he banged back iron. He almost broke the rim. So, I mean, he's streaky, but you can kind of live with it because when he's confident and feeling good, he might go, you know, he has the potential to go 5 of 8 in a game. You know, he went 3 for 5 against Miami from 3. And like, you could tell he was confident and rising in fire. So I think it's, you know, he's not confident right now. I do think he's in his head, and you combine that with the fact that he's already got kind of inconsistent form, man. And it's just ugly, ugly stuff. I've probably said ugly like 15 times already.
That's all right.
That's how I feel.
That's, yeah, you got to ring them up after games like this.
Yeah.
It pales in comparison to what's going up in the post game as we speak. So we're good. keep it classy, everybody.
Yeah. I think people are being a little overreactive to a tough loss. We were missing our two of our best players. Like, that matters. I know it's frustrating, but that absolutely, I mean, we've been talking about how good Rob is all year. He's been awesome. He's been great. Well, if he's not playing, suffice to say, we're probably going to be considerably worse. And we were, we missed him big time switching on to Trey. I think we had to trap because we didn't have Rob to switch out there against him. And, you know, Trey didn't score a lot, but their entire offense was we'd try to trap him. He'd make a quick pass and then they'd get an open three.
Well, and let me transition right from there to another comment coming out of the post game thread. And it's the top comment right now. And it's Skalucifer, which seems like an appropriate username. So shout out Skalucifer.
Big Scal fan.
just straight out saying, we just don't have enough talent. Anytime we miss one or two starters, we just instantly suck, even if Tatum has an amazing night. Stop calling Udoka out for 8 to 9 guy rotation when we have the worst bench in the league. Our team is undersized, can't shoot. We've got 6, maybe 7 players who can play consistent minutes in the NBA. The rest of the team should only play in garbage time. Not trying to, little edit at the bottom too, not trying to be a doomer or anything.
Of course,
but
naturally,
maybe we should just
obviously
accept that we are not that good. I guess we're just a .500 team.
Weren't we four and two without Jalen?
A lot of feelings out there.
Aren't we like 4-2 without Jalen before tonight? Like, I mean, we need to relax.
Yeah, but I think folks are feeling that stress too of the fact that like we're getting too used to saying that Jalen's out, right?
That is broader picture that it's scaring me how often that knee's bothering a man.
Well, and then compound that with like, you know, we've seen Brown start off fast and we've seen Tatum start off slow. But the way that Tatum has started off slow is seeming a little bit different this year. There's just like there's a whole vibe missing from Tatum. There's a whole swagger missing right now from Tatum and being on the court. Like I was asking you in the general chat with the other guys tonight during the game, I'm like, why is Tatum not right now noticeably the best player on the court?
Oh, see, I thought Tatum was amazing tonight, dude. That would have been like a 50-point loss without him.
Truth, fair.
He was everywhere.
Fair.
I mean, he was hitting.
He was finding people on the perimeter when he was making those drives a little bit better. He was making those decisions, but it's like, but in that way where like. Right. The Hawks are a good team, but they don't have their best player is Trae Young.
Yeah.
And if he's not raining from outside, like he's a pretty manageable threat. He wasn't the guy that beat us tonight. He wasn't having a great game by his standards tonight. We got beat up by Cam Reddish.
Yeah, that was pathetic. But I think Trae is the reason I think he was their best player because we were basically sending two guys at him every possession and he just made the right pass, man. And when you are passing to people that can shoot, dribble and pass, like that's an easy way to play offense, man. And we saw it tonight because I don't even think defensively we were that bad. They were just making plays out there and finishing. No.
Especially in that first half, I felt like we were locked in. They were just hitting some tough shots.
Everything. Like,
I mean, but it goes to show that whole team is basically built as just shooters at every position except for Clint Capella.
Yep. Yeah, that's like the ideal.
And I think he got grandfathered into that roster. Yeah.
And Clint's really good, man. He is good. He's been on my fantasy team for a long time, so I'm a big Clint fan.
But he's like the number one guy everyone would compare Rob Williams to early on.
Yeah, I think
so.
Go ahead.
Just to kind of maybe close us out on having to think about this game, because ultimately I think this comes down to being one of those games too. We're never going to remember this game. We're like, right. This game's frustrating right in this moment especially because of the last one, right? We want to just see some momentum going. We want to see this team clicking in the way that we saw for like a couple of games. We want to see that elite defense get supported by just even average offense just to see what might be possible. You know, obviously we're dealing with the anxiousness of waiting to get Jaylen Brown back and really maybe for the first time, get a look at what the Jays at peak performance together can look like.
Yeah.
I still think we're waiting to see what that is. And so they got to be healthy and they both got to be performing and they got to be on the court together to do it. So, I'm getting long winded trying to like, you know, get us to this sort of last consideration. But before we look specifically at a play from that game, the underrated play from the game, final thoughts or takeaways from what you saw tonight and what you're looking for moving forward.
I think that's a great point, Jay, that when it's game, 65, this is going to be so back in the rearview mirror, like down two starters, long road trip. Hawks are making everything, like it happens.
Josh Richardson's still getting playing time. Yeah.
I'm a big time Jay Rich hater, but he's been solid recently. He has been solid. So I just think
where's the full threads dedicated to criticizing Spoons and his hatred of Josh Richardson, everybody? Come on. I know, a couple bad things about over dribble Schroeder and everyone's lighting torches. I got Tice chasing me down the hallway. Telling me to behave.
Yeah, trying to ban you. No.
Yeah, Fongo's sending me aggressive aggressive messages.
Dude, yeah, I wouldn't fuck with Fongos, man. That listen, dude's crazy, man.
Listen, Fongos, you bring it. Bring that heat. I want all the smoke. I want all the smoke, kid.
Yeah, I did it smart, Jay. I ripped into him before the preseason, before he had played a game for us. Nobody remembers. So I think that's a great point that like this will probably be meaningless. It will be meaningless in 40 games from now. And I hope Udoka is serious when he says, like, now we got to fix the offense. Like, okay, I think my biggest takeaway, and I don't know if the numbers support this yet, the tracking data is not out yet, but it seemed like we ran way more pick and roll tonight, and we were getting good looks, man. Like, I really do think we were getting good looks. We just could not convert them for the life of us. So, tough game. Frustrating loss. I do think there's a lot of good to come out of this. And I think, you know, shout out Grant Williams. We haven't brought him up yet, but he had a really nice game, man.
He's quietly having a good season.
He's having a great season. Mm-hmm. And if this means Tatum's back, we're in good shape. We're going to be fine.
I'm not quite there with you yet as far as feeling like Tatum's back. I'm just not feeling that energy, that vibe emanating from him yet. But I've been wrong before on my takes about players, like when I criticize over dribblers that then have 38 points and a key win, you know, just a couple nights later. So it is what it is.
Keep hating, man. We need it. We need that energy.
That's right. Sometimes I just need to take that Kendrick Perkins credit and be
definitely.
Like, he clearly they're listening and he responded the way you'd want. You know, the professional to respond.
I know for a fact Schroeder's...
Good on you, Schroeder.
Schroeder's a big fan of the pod, so shout out
well,
Dennis.
Well, and Fongos must have heard something, got on the horn and said, listen, you can't let the Scottish Goomba be talking all this junk. So, Spoons, I know you did some quick editing during the game. We got a play that we identified for our underrated play to the game. Why don't you take us through that?
This is our underrated play of the game here.
Perfect freeze frame right there.
This is our guy, Grant Williams.
That's our guy.
Yeah. Tiptoes on the sideline, picks it up.
Oh, there it is. There's Twinkle Toes.
There he goes.
little do-si-do.
The best part's Herter complaining to the ref mid-play.
Yeah, the best part is Herter just like arms up like, what the hell? How's he even in bounds? That's some kind of magic spell. I don't know.
And the Scal mentioned it too, but if I was in Herter's position, I'd be like, that's out of bounds, obviously. But he did. Right. He got back
in. Where's the whistle?
Yeah, he's established both feet. Super heads up play. Primalistic, animalistic scream from Grant at the end too, which I love.
Half expected him to spike it down. That was like when they catch that touchdown pass right on the sideline.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Jerry Rice.
Yeah, that man, he got up. That was ballerina style, Grant.
Quick
my daughter's in ballet, so I know that struggle's real, Grant. You keep doing you, man. You're doing a great job.
We have an awesome Schroeder assist, Jay. I wanted you to take a look at too. I mean, this is just an absolute dime. I mean, you know, Jay talks about his over dribbling, but
he does over dribble.
Hold on, I gotta pull it up here.
Schroeder dribbling. All right, so like when Schroeder gets the ball and he dribbles like past the 8 to 10 second mark in a shot clock, it's basically like that rule that you set for yourself, like nothing, no good conversation happens after 2 a.m. Well, no good play develops after Schroeder's dribbled for 8 to 10 seconds. Like, it's just, that's a rule.
All right.
Like, I'm not saying nothing good could ever happen, but I'm just saying, you know, as far as just like rules to follow, guidelines for success over time.
Mike was with you tonight too. Mike was calling it out. He's like, he's dribbling an awful lot this play. All right, listen. So this is an absolute dime from Dennis Schroeder. He's gonna dribble in, get the ball back, pull up three, air ball to Al for the dunk. I mean, just gorgeous stuff. That's pure playmaker right there.
Well, and so and the reason why that I think is such an important and maybe even understated replay here is because just a couple of plays prior to that, he was trying to get the alley-oop to Al Horford. Maybe somewhat similar to what we've seen from Marcus Smart feeding either Al Horford or Robert Williams for alley-oops. Schroeder isn't quite there yet. He's not quite on Smart's level as far as getting those oops up. And so he made a slight adjustment on that that long-distance three-oop combo move that he put on display there.
That was a good pass. That's a good pass from Dennis. Come on. You're being too hard on my boy.
It's all part of the Dennis system.
That's right. Yeah, it is, man. It's a roller coaster, dude.
All right. So where are you at right now? Final question I'm going to ask you before we close this thing out is, as far as simple rating here, thumbs down, just totally neutral, thumbs up on where you're at with Ime and this team right now. Like, are you saying we got to start looking at selling? Are you like, no, just ride this wave, it's going to be fine? Or you're like, you know what, I'm feeling okay with what I'm seeing so far.
I'm going to go right in the middle. There we go.
Man.
I know.
Come on. You got to be more exciting than all that.
I just want, just go get a shooter, Brad. Just go get a shooter. For the love of God, just trade for somebody, please.
Just get the CH out, just an H. We just need an H. Yeah.
We don't need a 3 and D, man. We just need a 3. Like, I don't care if you can't
play defense.
We
need a shooter.
Yeah, exactly. So close.
Dennis keeps shrooting this whole thing up, so yeah. Any of my office fans.
How are you feeling, holler. Jay? Where are you at?
I'm fine. No, listen, I'm home. I'm about to pass out, though. I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Sorry, my cat's making an appearance. This is falling apart. Are you feeling good about this?
The wheels have just fallen completely flat.
Are you feeling good, man, or what?
I'm feeling good. I know, yeah. I know I'm negative about Schroeder, but that comes from a place of love too, even though all the hate's coming at me as a result of it. But even the criticism comes from a place of love. Listen, when we win, sometimes I'm still going to be harping and angry about something that I was seeing, because that's just the way I was raised and taught by my father and my grandfather before him. And I'm sure his father and grandfather before them. So that's just the way that'll be sometimes. But I feel really good, because here's the thing. The way this team looks in this first couple of months is by no means going to be what it looks like the final couple months of the season. We kind of knew that going in.
Yeah.
That being said, we would have really liked to see a little bit more upfront excitement, right? A little bit more, yeah. Potential blooming early on. But I do think that we've seen something that is close to, if not just elite, like really special as far as defensive potential, yep, with this roster. Now we kind of know that going in, because it's just, I mean, it's in the way that we'd like it to be filled with shooters, it's filled with defenders, and yeah, that's just what it is right now.
Yeah.
I do like that if that's what we've got, that's what this team can do, and it can be successful doing it. So I'm feeling good about that. That makes me think that Ime's got his head on proper.
Yeah,
and the fact that he's looking at the offense now, I think we'll see over the next couple of weeks what that kind of means and what a real, Udoka offense is going to look like. If we don't see more off-ball movement, most especially with, at the very least, Tatum, I'm probably going to lose my mind. And then we'll see negative Celtics shake him out a little bit. We got to see some off-ball movement, especially with my man Tatum. Otherwise, we're just asking him to do the hardest job in the world. And it's like, well, I mean, that's an overstatement or whatever, yeah, but
on a court,
right. Yeah. You know, having the entire focus around him with no real release valve for that attention. If we're not at least making them work to chase him around the court and put them through as many screens and different types of movements like that, what are we doing here?
Right.
Right. Right. We're just like, we're winging it. We're hoping for the best. So I think this is going to be our chance. It makes sense to me that Udoka would really focus on locking in that defense early, knowing that that's going to have to be the thing,
yeah,
that keeps the ship righted when, mm-hmm, when things kind of get derailed later on, when shots aren't falling in more critical games. So I think we chalk this stuff up to learning lessons, hopefully, right? Moral wins. But I like that the team's not really unraveling and falling apart, even after those Smart remarks. That looked like it could set sort of like a morale fire.
Yeah.
And it seems to have been tempered for the most part. It also seems like it might have got over blown out of proportion by the media.
Go figure, but imagine that. Yeah, it never happens. Yeah,
shocking.
Yeah.
So I think that given the ways that this could really be looking bad, I like that they've responded. I like that the response has been focused on the defense. I like that no one's really hitting shots right now. And so you have to figure at some point that energy is just going to shift.
Right.
It just has to.
Right.
Yeah. It just has to.
I'll agree with you. The defense is legit. It's real. It's not going anywhere. Teams with top five defenses do not have bad records. The Knicks were like the 29th best offense last year, and we're on a 50-win pace. Philly was the 16th best offense last year and was the number one seed in the conference, right? So, like, your offense doesn't even have to be that good if the defense is what I think we have right now. So,
yep.
I'm with you. I think if I had to pick, I'd say I'm still feeling good about this season. I think we'll right the ship. Jalen, please come back, baby. We miss you so bad. We miss you so bad.
Because then we're going to start having the very real debates about who is the real number one star on this team.
Yeah, I miss that. I miss bitching about which Jay's better when they're both playing good.
Let's get it popping in the next couple of weeks. Jalen, come on back. Bring all that fire that you started up with. Show everybody in this world that they need a little bit more time to still consider because they haven't considered yet. All right.
We all know the best Jay is Celtics Jay, though.
That's right. All right. And on that note, because we can't end any higher than that. All right. I want to thank everybody for joining us this evening. Mr. Spoons, thank you so much for having another post-game conversation with me. Always appreciate you. Appreciate having you on. Looking forward to the next chance we get to chop it up.
Anytime, Jay. It was... I don't know if fun's the right word, but it was cathartic. Nice talking to you as always, buddy.
All right, man. Have a great evening. All right, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Peace.